Well, hello, good morning. Happy New Year to you. I hope you've had a great Christmas and New Year. Some of you might notice there's something a little bit different about me. Something a little bit awkward on my back. And we'll just ignore that for a minute or two. I know it's not distracting in any way, having a cricket bag on my back, but just in case you're wondering what it was. But we're going to be looking at Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. And I want us to think about calling today. Calling, what is God calling us to be? What is God calling us to do? And it's a good thing to think about at the start of a new year. And in the passage that we're going to read, just the first verse of it, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." And so we're reminded that Christ came and died on the cross to forgive us our sins and rose again, ascended to heaven, is coming back again. And we don't carry out works to save ourselves, but in being forgiven, we are called to holy running. The first thing I want us to think about this morning, we are called to holy running. What does that mean? That means this, is that it is slightly odd that I have a huge cricket bag on my back, and if I preach this whole sermon, I think possibly my left hand would go a bit dead at the moment because I can't quite even get the bag properly on my back. But the thought that actually we have been surrounded by witnesses, those that have gone before us in the faith, those that were persecuted, those that were cut in half, as it were, as it was, we read in Hebrews 11, by such a cloud of witness, let us then throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So here's not at all challenging word to begin the year with. Of course it's challenging when we think about sin. That we are having to be purposeful if we're running a race in throwing off all that hinders. Any of you that do running or cycling or any exercise know that you do not want extra weight on you, especially after Christmas. And so we have to throw off that actually hinders and entangles us. And so eventually I'm going to get this bag off my back. And in this bag are some things that maybe remind us of how subtle sin can be. Because you see, sin, we can make idols out of things that are even good in themselves. So that, you know, we've all had Christmas and it's great to have a nice time, but, you know, we can maybe indulge in the quality street a little bit too much, and that we can maybe be gluttonous and therefore have to watch what it is and how we live in that way. And that can entangle us and that can hold us back. Or maybe we've had a little bit too much excess alcohol, and maybe that's something that God might be speaking to us about in the year ahead, that actually, are we distinctive in the way that we eat, in the way that we drink? Are we different from the world? Is this something that we do to find comfort in? Or maybe it is that we this is the bag that I use for work, that maybe we make an idol out of our work. That actually, you know, if we didn't have our work, we'd be stuffed, because it's largely our identity. Being a pastor or being a doctor or working in a bank or whatever it is, that we can make an idol out of our work and that it takes up so much of our time and our thinking. Or maybe even fitness and sport. This cricket bag represents something that's not very good in the British Isles at the moment. But this is something we can make an idol of, that actually even sport in and of itself. And so we've got to be honest with ourselves as we start a new year. Not that we've got to be navel-gazing and introspective and beating ourselves up, but we do, I think, need to take check of where we're at in terms of our spiritual health. Do we not agree? It's important for us to consider where we're at in terms of our walk with God. Are we just going to have another year where we get caught in sinful patterns of excess alcohol, eating, work, pride, lust? Are we going to get caught in another year of that? Or do we love Christ more and we hate sin more? And my desire is that we become holy runners, that we desire holiness. Be holy as I am holy, God said, and that's a desire. And we kind of get a little bit prickly about that stuff because we go, well, what about grace? Are we turning into legalism here? No, we're not. We need to be people that actually, because we love Christ so much, we don't want to be running with all these things on our back. We want to throw these things off so that we can run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us, that God wants us to be free from these things, that we might be running effectively for him and desiring to be holy as he is holy, to be holy runners, not just kind of slobby, slightly overweight runners, but fit, holy runners, spiritually fit, because of what Christ has done for us, that we live according to truly who we are, children of God, holy as he is holy. But the second thing is that we are to live with a call to fix our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we are, it sounds so obvious, but we are in this race and we are to fix our eyes on Jesus. And we can so easily become distracted by things that are not great on TV or the internet or work or drink or food, whatever it is, or things that are great. We can be really busy, involved in ministry and serving other people and loving other people. But we've got to remember that we fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Because when we do that, we find true joy. Jesus himself was a joy seeker in the sense that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He didn't just endure the cross in pain and say, well, actually, I'm just doing this because I'm a martyr. He did it because he knew it was for the love of us and the Father, and that he would be at the right hand of the Father. He knew the joy that was set before him. And there is joy when we set our eyes on Christ at the beginning of a year and of the beginning of a day and the beginning of a week and the beginning of a month and for the year. Maybe we set our eyes on Jesus. We all need to encourage each other to fix our eyes on Jesus, because we fix our eyes on things that we shouldn't, and we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, because Jesus is the one who brings true life. And in this next few months ahead, our next teaching series is going to be called Jesus Is. One of the reasons in chatting and praying about this with Colin is that I believe that we can talk a lot about things in church, but actually it's really important to talk about Jesus. And we're going to be focusing on Jesus, who Jesus is through John's gospel. And we're going to be delighting in that and encouraging one another in that and remembering that Jesus is the lifesaver, that Jesus is the healer. He's the life giver. He's the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. He is the servant who lays down his life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one who promises the Holy Spirit. He is the one who remains. He is the one who died and rose again in order that we might have life. And so we're going to dwell on the goodness and chew on the goodness of John's gospel as we think about Jesus over the next 3 months, that we're going to focus on Jesus and fix our eyes on Jesus. And that's what we need to do as we come each day, we focus on God's word and fix our eyes on Jesus. But collectively as a church, we're going to remember just how good Jesus is again and delight in that. Maybe some of us have not come to that place in our life where we've even come to encounter Jesus for the first time. And maybe some of us have just become a bit lukewarm about Jesus. Yeah, well, Jesus is all right. Of course he is. Because, you know, I'm a Christian. But are we really dwelling in the joy of the Lord? Is the joy of the Lord really our strength? Or have we become a bit lukewarm? Or maybe we are dwelling in that and enjoying that. But we just need to constantly be encouraged and reminded of that as we start a new year. That we need to be reminded. And it's not just an internal thing, that we want to also be aware of a resource called Uncover John. And it's a John's gospel that we actually potentially could meet up with somebody from school or college or work or a neighbor and actually study this one-to-one with. So that remembering our vision of knowing, growing, and going, We don't just want to be knowing and growing. We want to be going. So actually, we get a great opportunity to chat to somebody. What happens when somebody loses their job? What happens when somebody gets the news of cancer? What happens when somebody loses a loved one? There are questions that come up. And so we want to take people to Jesus. We want to take people to the gospel. And we want to take people to say, hey, listen, why don't we meet up for a coffee and read this? Let's be stepping out of the boat and praying of thinking of somebody that we might even be able to do that with this year as we focus on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. And also, there is a call to not grow weary or lose heart. Just flick the next one on at the back, please. Sorry, for some reason it's... there. It, oh, no, yes. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. How many of you are weary and are losing heart? Probably actually most of us. Most of us, if we're honest, are a bit weary and lose heart at times. We live in a very busy world. Well, you're very busy at work or busy at school or college or whatever, and we're constantly juggling things. It's easy to become weary. It's easy to lose heart. Somebody says something to you and you become angry about it. Easy to become jealous. Easy to become bitter. Easy to feel that nobody knows you're there, and so we lose heart. We grow weary and we lose heart. So what are we supposed to do when we grow weary and we lose heart? Well, we're supposed to consider him. Who's him? Jesus. We're supposed to consider him, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, that you will not grow weary. Can't we see how basic the gospel is, but yet how often we forget it? We are to be holy as he is holy, throw off sin. We are to consider what it is to fix our eyes on Jesus. We're called to not grow weary and lose heart because we're called to consider him. And considering takes a little bit of effort again. And let me say this gently, but as a challenge, I need to be challenged, and we all need to be challenged, to make that effort to fix our eyes on Jesus and to make that effort to consider him. So please consider him as you go to work on a Monday morning as you drive. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus before you go into that meeting that's maybe easy or difficult. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus if you have family and you're putting them to bed and how you're maybe showing them about who Jesus is and whether we pray and whether we read the Bible with them. Consider Jesus at these points of life. Let's not just consider Jesus at church, but let's consider Jesus all the time. Be constantly thinking about how Jesus infuses our life and be the fragrance of Christ in all of our life. And I wonder sometimes whether we don't engage with the Bible, as we were hearing about earlier with that video, because we often talk about studying the Bible as opposed to meditating on God's word. I'm not sure there's any scriptural reference that says study the Bible. But there's plenty that talk about meditating upon the word. And meditating takes a little bit of effort, doesn't it? But you're meditating right now. Some of you are thinking about your lunch. You're meditating right now. Some of you are listening to me. Some of you are thinking about the football scores. We always have something going on in our mind, so we know how to meditate, but we need to meditate upon Christ rather than always being drifting and thinking about other things. We need to consider him. So let me encourage us as we come today to consider Christ, to focus on Christ, is to think about how we can apply some of this stuff as we come into thinking about communion as one of these ways that we can apply it. I want to encourage us that if we're not part of a home group, that we can lose heart and grow weary because we try to do the Christian faith on our own. If this is being recorded, maybe it isn't, but we can record it at the next one, and you haven't been to church for quite a while, and that's a special message for you listening, whoever that is, you need to be part of the body in order to really not lose heart and not grow weary. If, I'll just pick on someone I can, Gordon, if I said to Gordon, Gordon, I don't want to see you at church for 6 months, and we're going to see how you're doing in 6 months, I guarantee Gordon would have grown weary and lost heart. Because we need each other, the body of Christ, in the high times and the low times, in the times of joy, in the times of grief, in the times of wellness, in the times of illness. We need each other. And one of the ways that we can do that is by being part of a home group. And one of the ways that we can do it in being part of a home group is to look out for each other more and commit to that and be more regular in going into our home groups. But also not just going, but actually considering how one another are doing and loving one another. We also need to consider prayer as a primary thing. This church was founded on the word and founded on prayer. And I want to encourage us, if you've never been to a prayer cafe once a month, please, please, please make an effort. It's not just a thing for the middle age and the oldies. It shouldn't be. This should be a chance for us to come together and pray. Why? I guarantee if your children were ill, you would probably turn up at the prayer cafe. Why? Because you'll be desperate to see God move. Yet there is a world who is lost. Yet there are many needs in this church, and we need to be praying because there is an emergency happening in the world that actually people need to know Christ, and we need to be strengthened and not grow weary and lose heart. And so I'm encouraging us all, please, can we make an effort by God's grace in His Spirit to come together in fellowship? We mustn't just come to church in 2018, keep on with the old habits, and then just say, well, I'll turn up on a Sunday now and again, and that's me doing my bit. This is not about effort. This is not about, so what is it? Well, no, we'll hold that for a minute. That's because of actually logistics. So that's the point is we are looking to meet together to pray for the prayer cafe, but there's also other opportunities to pray at other times. There's other opportunities. We should be praying at all times, but when we come together and have fellowship with one another, we should be looking to pray for one another. We should be looking to pray and intercede for the church and what's going on. One of the things that we happen when we come together to pray, we find out what's actually going on in the church. We find out the needs that there are. We find out how we can support one another and care for one another. And the last thing is this. I'll give you a personal confession. I find reading the Bible hard sometimes, and that's a pastor. And one of the things that made a big difference in my life was 3 months ago, I downloaded an app called The Bible in 1 Year, and I integrate that as part of those of us who are working our busy lives. So I drop my son off at school, and on the way back, I'm listening to The Bible in 1 Year on the audio in the car. Now, many of us say we're busy, we struggle, we don't have time, but there are moments what we might call dead time. You might be a teacher, doctor, working in a bank, whatever it is, and you're driving to work, or you might be dropping kids off at school and you're walking, you get some headphones in. We can listen to the Word of God and the Bible. Now, I don't want to give us 50 things to be a better Christian, but please listen to my heart here. This is not about us trying to work harder at being better. I'm recognizing that actually we all need help in growing spiritually. And I want to lovingly encourage you as I try to, motivate myself to get into the Word so that we don't grow weary and lose heart. And when we make that a good habit in our life, we will meditate upon the Word, fix our eyes on Jesus, and have the right perspective, and live and love others as Christ loves us. We really need to make it a good habit in our life, and more than ever, there's a technology to do it. More than ever, there's the opportunities for us to read the Word. I don't know where you're at with that. Maybe you're reading the Word every day, and you're loving that, and that's great. Maybe you get to read the Word once a week. Maybe you get to read the Word once a month, or you haven't read the Word in months. I just want to encourage us that if we are to not grow weary and lose heart, If we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, the primary way that we do that is through reading the Word, being in the, letting the Word be in us, and being in fellowship with one another. I cannot make it through this year spiritually without you. And I don't think any of us can make it through this year without each other. We are the body of Christ. Christ is the head. That is why we should be here, because we are encouraging one another, building one another up, focusing ourselves on Jesus when we are tempted to drift. And so as we come and we think about communion, what I've been trying to encourage us to think about is that we must throw off sin, that we must fix our eyes on Jesus, and that's what communion helps us to do beautifully. As we think upon Christ who died on the cross, he shed his blood, his body was broken for us in order that we might be forgiven. And as we remember that, we remember that we are his body, not just random individuals that have gathered on one Sunday, but his body. Do we get that? Do we sense the reality of that? Christ died not just for individuals, but for his body, the community of his people who encourage one another and love one another, build one another up, that we might be more like Jesus. So just take a moment or two, and then I'm going to pray for the bread and the wine. Let's just take a moment just to reflect on what God might be saying to us as we've heard that. And just in a moment or two, I'm going to come up and pray for the bread and wine. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus, that actually you knew that we couldn't make it on our own. You knew that we couldn't pay the price. So you sent Jesus as the one who would be the atoning sacrifice for us, not because it was just something to do, but because you love us so much that you loved us first. And so we thank you for sending Jesus, and we thank you for that body that was broken on the cross as Jesus suffocated on that cross and the nails were through his hands and his feet. He did that for us, his church, his people. We thank you for the blood that was shed on the cross that pays the price for our sins, that washes us whiter than snow, that even this morning, if we might feel guilt and shame, that we might know that our sins, as far as the east is from the west, that we can know no condemnation in Christ as we repent and put our faith and trust in you. We thank you this morning that Jesus' blood has washed us whiter than snow. We thank you for the reminder that we are the body of Christ, that we commune with you and with each other. In Jesus' name, amen.